Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
So I want to talk about community alignment. So the week before last, as I was preaching, I talked about how we were created for community. I talked about how our design was to walk in community. We looked at Genesis and actually in Acts where he talks about after you repent that there's times of refreshing that come from the presence, which brings us back to our original design. Prior to that, I talked about how we're covered and coached and how in the garden, God covered them with a skin. He covered them and how by Jesus covers our sin by the cross. And then we're coached and trained and discipled in Christianity. So what I want to start with is I just want to ask you a few rhetorical questions. What's a healthy community look like? What's that look like? Because it looks different. And there can be different communities, healthy and still look different. But what are some of the characteristics that are common and even in different focuses? But what's a community on track look like? What's that? What's that look like? You know, Billy Graham was telling a story about Einstein. So you have this physicist, and he was talking about how he left Princeton, I think, where he was working, and he's on the train. And, you know, in the day, they used to do those little clickers where they come, and they go, tickets, tickets, and the guy's clicking, punching a hole in your ticket, right? So they come to Einstein, and he's searching his pocket, he's searching his pants, he's looking at his briefcase, he's looking at the seat next to him, and the conductor just looks and says, Dr. Einstein, you know, everybody knows who you are. And I know you probably bought the ticket, so just don't worry. So he just kind of relaxed back in his seat. Guy keeps tickets, he's clicking tickets. He gets to the back of the car, and he's going to go to the next car. He looks back, there's Einstein on the ground searching under the chairs, under the seat, and he rushes back, and he's like, Dr. Einstein. He's like, he goes, I know who you are. We know who you are. We're sure you bought the ticket. Please don't, you know, don't worry about it. And Einstein looks at him and he says, young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going. A lot of Christians know their identity as sons and daughters of God, but they don't know where they're going. They're on this Christian train and they don't even know where to get off because they don't know what stop. I mean, it's helpful when the pilot says, hello, you're on a plane. We're about ready to head to Hawaii. You're like, awesome, we're going to Hawaii. And you're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to the Caribbean. We better get off this plane. I'm on the wrong plane. Well, we need to know where we're going. Hello. It was an old joke about Charlie Brown and the way Charlie Brown set goals is Charlie would just take a bow and arrow and shoot the fence and then go over and draw a circle around it. And he always hit his mark. That's the way some Christians are. I'm just heading out there and wherever I land, it's where God wanted me. It's like, no, you can have some goals and, you know. Some just stop forward motion. They just stop. It's like, I don't know where I'm going. I'm just getting off the train. Some reject community, and then they stunt their growth personally because they've rejected the community, and that's kind of hard. Some just get off track. They're just off a little bit. I've told you this story one time. We were climbing Half Dome, and on the way down the mountain, these guys were screaming in this ravine, and they're like, help, help us. And I shine a flashlight, and they come to the light. They didn't have a flashlight. They were drunk a little bit. I could tell they were drinking. And they were like, you could smell it. It wasn't, like, hard to figure out. And they're like, thank you so much. And I'm like, here, I gave him one of my flashlights. I said, stay with us. We're going to go fast down the mountain. We're running down the mountain at this point because I want to get as far as I can before it gets pitch black. And they said, no, we'll go by ourselves. I'm thinking, you were off track before. Those batteries go out, you could be off track again. You don't want to be off track in the mountains without the proper clothes, with no light, no food. That's pretty messed up. Are you here? They were just a little off the trail, and yet they didn't know where they were at all. And some Christians are just a little off the trail of their destiny, and they just need a little bit of help to get back on that trail. They're not even far from the trail. They're not even far from God's path for their lives. They're just a little bit off, but there is a path. There is there's hope, and God wants to put us back on that track. He wants to put us back on that train track, on that trail of life. Whatever it takes to get to your destiny. I was thinking about alignment and in context to alignment. Have you ever had a car that was out of alignment? I can remember when I was 17 years old, my car was out of alignment, but I didn't have enough money to go buy a Top Ramen, let alone get my car aligned. So I just drove, and it pulled to the right. I just had to pull to the left all the time as I drove. Are you here? Now I just, you know, take it to Bailey's, and they put it on their trick rack, and they get it all squared, and, you know, it's different. But, like, you know, there's seasons where you can tell something's even just a little bit off alignment. If you're not paying attention, you're in the ditch, or you're in a head-on collision. You with me? So it could be dangerous to be out of alignment and thinking, I'm out of alignment and I know it, but I'm just gonna keep going this way. That could be dangerous. And as a Christian, some people, and it talks about in James how some Christians have suffered shipwreck faith shipwreck. Their vehicle of faith, their ship of faith is not a love boat, it's wrecked. And so we don't want that either. So today I want to take you to two passages. I want to come out of a New Testament, Old Testament to drive this home. I want to come out of Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to go into Ezekiel 37. We're going to start in Ephesians 4, a famous passage. It really describes the fivefold ministry and talks about the fivefold ministry, but not just what the fivefold ministry is. It's not really my focus. Is I want to talk about community alignment, but it talks about the purpose of that. So why do we come to church? We embrace fivefold ministry. We believe that God has done what he said, that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. We believe that. We're moving forward. He talks about purpose as well. So let's dive in and let's look. Ephesians 4:9. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Jesus went down in the lower parts of the earth. He conquered sin and death. He took the keys back that Adam and Eve threw away, and he, through his sacrifice, even as the Bible tells us, through one man's disobedience, sin entered, through Christ's obedience, that righteousness. Now we are the righteousness of God in Christ, and through the cross of Jesus Christ, we can be made right in right standing. Righteous is to be in right standing. So people say, well, how could you be righteous? I'm not righteous. It just means Jesus' blood covers my sins, and because of that, I could stand before God, not on my merit, but on his. Amen? So he not only ascended, but he descended, then he ascended. In verse 10, it says, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he says purpose in 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's just read that together. 1, 2, 3, read. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word equipping is what I want to zone in on today, and I want to kind of break that word down. But I want you to see the equipping of the saints. When I was little, we went to a church. Saints were dead dudes with pictures on the wall. Saints means you, believers, body of Christ, living people who are still on the earth. We're here to equip and to train you, and so that you can fulfill your mission in life. 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, say love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Leave verse 16 up there for a minute. This really kind of summarizes a lot of what we're talking about today, and there's so much in there to unpack, but I want you just to see it says, from the whom the whole body, speaking of the whole body of Christ, joined in it together by what every joint supplies. So each one of us, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the whole. So what we need to see is that your health and your proper alignment affects everything. If one tire is out of alignment, it can throw the whole car in the ditch. If they're both in alignment, if all of it's in alignment, well, it affects the passengers, the rest of the car. The engine's not like, I was ticking fine. You tires were out of alignment here. Are you with me? So there is an effect on the whole as well. And so I want to break down this in verse 12. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And Jack Hafer, in his school of ministry a long time ago, he brought this truth, and it was really powerful. And he talked about this equipping, that the equipping, if you look at the word, this word is an old word, and the root word for this word actually was a medical term. And what it meant was, is that when a bone was broken, it meant to like set it back in place. Are you here? So it means setting something back in place. So if you look at this word, it actually means to complete thoroughly, to repair, to frame, to mend. It could mean like mending nets as well. Perfectly joined together, prepare, restore. So we see this was an old word, a medical word for putting a bone back in place. So we can see the purpose that it takes community to be in alignment. So the bone coming back into alignment is what I want to focus on today, that each one of us are individuals, that when we're all in alignment, then the whole community flows together. So it takes a community in alignment, just as a car out of alignment will veer to the right or to the left. Humankind was created in the image of God. Now, this is important because some people just think, you know, it's okay. I'm just messed up. This is the way I am, and I'm just going to be this way till Jesus comes. I don't know. Really? Because Genesis 1:27 says, so he created man in his own image. God's not messed up. Well, I am. You were created in his image. Male and female, he created them. You were created in the image of God, and we may come to him broken, but he fixes us. And we may have had things happen, but we get past those things. Study the Bible. There's a bunch of dysfunctional people there that God made functional. You ever see that TV junkyard things, and they put something together out of junk? God didn't make any junk. You just say, I just need to be benched. I just need to be like, no, we need to function on what we were created and how we were created to function. We need to get in alignment. And this is kind of where I want to go today. You know, we are created in his image, but, you know, if there's something out of alignment, we can be in trouble. So I told you, we went on vacation a month ago, right? Teresa and I are divers. You know, I was talking about we were diving. I think maybe, I'm not sure when and where it happened, but somewhere I got a sublocation in my shoulder. And so, I don't know, I was lifting tanks. We did shore dives where you walk in. And so I have a tank on my back and all my weights. And I had Teresa's tank and weights and everything. And I had that in my hand trying to put it on her back. And, you know, and somewhere, you know, you see little Teresa trying to walk to the shore with this big old tank on. So I'm like, this isn't going to happen. So I brought it down there and put it on her. So I'm carrying a lot of heavy things. I don't know what happened. I just know I was doing some push-ups afterwards, exhausted, but you got to work out when you're gone too. And I could, all of a sudden I'm like, ow, 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 something's messed up. So I came home and I'm kind of like, duct tape it. You know what I mean? Teresa's like, well, now you need to go to see Dr. Rich. You need to go to the chiropractor. He's awesome. He's healed Taylor. He's healed all these people. He's awesome, right? And he is awesome. And I'm like, you know, just give me some duct tape. I don't know. It's just in me. I'm just like, no, it's okay. It'll get healed. A month. I had a sublocation for a month. So this was a month. Finally, I concede, because even just to pick up a water bottle, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden, it's like, ow, it feels like someone's stabbing me right here because it was out. So I go. He just grabs it. Boom. Oh, yeah. This is out. Boom. Puts it in. And I can feel it pop back in. I'm like, whoa. So now after a week, he's like, give it about a week. It'll all be better. Still just a little tender because all the things around it are trying to catch up. Are you with me? But I was lifting dive bags. I was lifting 50-pound bags on the airplane and our luggage and all our stuff. Are you with me? So and the chiropractor, he said, your muscles are fine. Your rotator's fine. Your rotator cuff, which was torn before, that God healed. And I'm like, thank you to Jesus. And I testify to that one. But the point was, is that the muscles, you can appear strong in the body of Christ and still be out of joint. But can I tell you something? The rest of the body around you has to compensate where you're messed up. So you could be out of joint and the people around you are suffering a little pain because you're out of joint. And when you're out of joint, some of you get real crabby. Huh? Hurts, pain. And you grab and bite the people around you. And all these muscles are trying to compensate for the one. Are you with me? An unorganized person causes undue stress on all those around them. You come to work and you're unorganized and you put pressure on your assistant and everyone around you because you weren't prepared. Worship team comes in and they're ready to go and suddenly one of the musicians didn't even practice, mispracticed, didn't bring their instrument and you're like, hello? They mess everyone and everyone else is trying to catch up for the one that was messed up. Are you with me? They're all trying to make up. So if we're all flowing together, it's awesome when it's a well-oiled machine. You know what I mean? But like if one of these guys up here's little key pedal isn't working and it's like feeding back, you know, everyone knows. It's beautiful everywhere, but like you're kind of like, that thing's off. Can you just unplug it? It's like, does anyone hear that? I just hate it. I'm like, the guy's mic's feed, just walk up and tell him and give him a mic. Everyone will be like, thank you. You know, I mean, I just can't stand the elephant in the room. It's like, push the thing over. Everybody knows there's a noise. It's okay, get up there, fix it. Anyway, all I'm saying to you is that sometimes the body of Christ around you is in pain because of you. Just saying. Just preaching truth. But once it goes back in, it just didn't take long, and like about a week later, I could do push-ups again. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I could lift stuff. I feel good. I feel like I could clip again. I was designed to do what I do. I'm not designed to like never do anything physical. You know what I mean? That's like prison. You know, to some kids, you go to your room, and they're like, thank you. I'll be on my computer, and I'm happy. To me, that's torture. That's prison. I mean, you might as well imprison me, send me to my room. You know, as a kid, like I wanted to be outside. I would stand in front of the TV and be like, let's go outside. My brothers and sisters are like, get out of the way. That was me. Anyway, you're designed some way. And that way God designed you to function. And when you're in alignment and we all fit together, then the community works. That's the way he created us to be. So, a community in alignment will fulfill its assignment. Well, are we going to fulfill our vision? It's everybody's the answer to that. Because if we're all functioning, then we'll fulfill our assignment. You know what I mean? Just like on a worship team, worship was awesome. And you fulfilled it. The presence of God was here. It was strong. That was the assignment. We're going into the presence. We're going to bring and usher in and create an atmosphere of the presence of God. Awesome. Successful. That was a team effort. And in the same way, a community in alignment will fulfill its assignment. But also, there's individuals that are a part of that. So number one, the first thing I want to talk about is alignment in the body of Christ. Alignment in the body of Christ. It says, according to Ephesians 4:16, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself. So thus the principle of synergy is presented here, that together we can do more, together we can accomplish more, even together you're better as an individual. So we're designed to function in community. We're divine, we're designed to function in this community because God's in us. And he talks about it. He says, he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the alignment. So when we're in alignment, things flow. So I want to go to Ezekiel and show you, because everything in the old is a type and a shadow, they say, towards the new. So there was things in the old that they were pointing towards Christ and pointing towards your new covenant you have now. Ezekiel 37 is one of those. So Ezekiel 37, he takes Ezekiel and it starts like this in verse 3. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So he takes him and he shows him this valley of all these bones. Have you ever seen a bunch of bones? Like sometimes we go to the ranch and like a cow got jumped by a mountain lion or a coyote and there's like bones. And it's kind of gross, you know, but there's bones all over. And you're like, whoa, You know, I wouldn't want to try to put them back together. Can you imagine a boatload of human bones? You know, all this stuff. He's looking at these bones. And he answered and said, Lord, you know. And again, he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. Okay. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together bone to bone. Wouldn't that be crazy? All of a sudden the bones are like there's a you know, like a femur over there and all of a sudden it's like coming across, sliding over here. And it's coming together, and then, you know, the bones are rattling, and they're all coming together. Can you imagine this scene? It's like, oh, my goodness. But something happened. It said, and bone came together, bone to bone. But then it says, indeed, as I looked, the sinew and flesh came on them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So, really, there's two parts to what happened with Ezekiel. One is, God said prophesy, and the first part of the prophecy is when he prophesied, bones came together. So in the first part of his prophecy, there was alignment. Say alignment. Now, I want you just to think about this. What if he would have just prophesied bones and whatever, and then all of a sudden there's like a hand over there and a leg over there with like flesh on it, and then the hand is like crawling to the leg. It would look like a horror movie, something out of zombie or something, you know, whatever. You know, it would have looked kind of crazy, wouldn't it? And then they're trying to come together with all the flesh on them. So it's kind of interesting. God had an order, and he puts first, starts with alignment. And once he brings alignment to the bones, then he says, prophesy breath, prophesy son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these slain that they may live. And he's speaking back of the life that comes through God. And he prophesied as he commanded me to, and breath came into them and they lived. They stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So they went from dry bones to a great army. So, you know, maybe there's a picture of Genesis happening, how he created, you know, when he created. I don't know. Maybe it's a slow motion, you know, picture. But bottom line, regardless, we see an order that there's points. In order to function as an army or as the army of God, the bones have to come together. Alignment comes first, then breath. Equipping is aligning. So the first step was alignment, but I want to go to the next step. And number two is activation comes after alignment. Say that with me. Activation comes after alignment. A lot of people, they want to get saved and they want to be activated right away. And if you try to function out of alignment, like I said, you're dangerous. You know, a car severely misaligned is dangerous on the road. And some Christians are a little dangerous in that they're just, yeah. And so activation comes after alignment, and this beautiful army comes, and they stood on their feet. So we see alignment, then we see life comes. Now you need to understand this. So if you go back and you look at what was happening with Ezekiel, Ezekiel's in this whole situation because Israel was captive in Babylon. So they were captive in Babylon, thus they were hopeless, thus the dry bones coming to life was a picture of their national resurrection as Israel would become a nation. Hallelujah, somebody praise God. You could clap right about there. Hello, hopefully. Some of you are happy. But then that also, for us, is a great picture of how Jesus takes us as we were dead in our sins and trespasses, and he brings us to life. And after he aligns us and he brings life, after we get in alignment with the cross and the forgiveness that comes from the cross, then he breathes and the Holy Spirit comes into our life, and we see real life, and we're activated into God's army. So he breathes life, and we see this image of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit also is ruach, it's breath. You can see the whole picture all the way from the beginning, from creation. There's references all the way from creation, even when Jesus would breathe, and he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. So activation Now, activation speaks of our assignment, and we all have an assignment. Say an assignment. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability God supplies. Somebody say, God supplies. Thank God it's the ability God supplies. Oh, wait a minute, though. That musician had to learn how to play that guitar. But you know what? That's a gift that God gave them and a passion God gave them to play that instrument. I'm not gifted on that instrument. You don't want me playing the guitar, all right? You don't want me singing, but they're gifted. Are you with me? So there's work involved in it, but you're partnering with God, but God gives them the strength and the ability. And so it says that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whom belong the glory, dominion forever and ever. So when you have a passion, I have a passion for music. I just really feel like I have a passion for music. You get to work hard at that, but God gives you a gift, and you're gifted or you're not gifted. If you're not gifted, someone will tell you you're not gifted. You need to work on that. That's part of leadership. I don't know. Parents are pretty good at that. They're like, honey, maybe you're not supposed to do this thing in life. Thank God parents aren't just shoving their child into something they're not even gifted to do. Huh? Your granddaddy was a shepherd. Your grandpa was a shepherd. I was a shepherd. You're going to be a shepherd, boy. You're going to walk around with the sheep. What if they're like a computer genius and they don't want to be outdoors? Serious. I have three sons. One's brilliant software engineer, right? Awesome. One of my sons, he's like afraid of spiders. It's not even that one, but he doesn't like to be around dirt or anything outdoors. He's afraid of bugs. One time he came in, Dad, and there's a spider. I think it's a recluse. The thing must have been like microscopic. It's on the shower, I'm like, that thing is so small. Pop, I just kill it. I'm like, because I love outdoors, you know. I see a spider, it's going to die if the cats don't kill it first. You murderer. It's like, no, I love spiders in the outdoor. I don't kill them, but they're in my house. They're going to die. Moving right along. But some people would be like, you think I'm touching my hand on that spider? Ugh. You know what I mean? So if you're wired for the outdoors, that's no big deal. Spider hand rolls, poof, it's dead. It's gone. Move on. So you don't take the kid who's afraid of spiders and say, you're going to be a shepherd. He's like afraid of everything, right? I think you get it. We want to encourage our children in what their strength is. And in the body of Christ, it's the same way. When you're doing your passion, last service we had Bailey sitting here, Scott Bailey and Diana Bailey, and they got Bailey's Automotive, and I don't even know the name technically all, but it's they have an automotive shop. They did the alignment on my car. They've done tires. They've done this. They've done all kinds of work. Awesome. They're great. But that's the way Scott was in high school. I knew Scott. I went to the same high school. He had these tricked out fancy cars, and you know he would like just lay down like this rubber on the back, you know, behind the school. Everybody was like, Scott. Anyway, he was an animal in that. But he basically loves cars, and he works in automotive. So basically his passion is what he's doing. And when you're functioning in your passion, you never have to work another day in your life because it's his passion. Oh, he works hard and he works long hours, but he's functioning in his passion. Are you with me? When you're in alignment and you're doing what God called you to do, it's awesome. And everyone's not supposed to do what you do. You do what you're called to do. Are you with me? We all have an assignment. And when we're set in alignment, on assignment, it gets really good. So God gives us the ability to fulfill our assignment. So if you're thinking, God wants me to do this, and you're really not good at that at all, and you have no gifting, no anointing, no apparent, you know, maybe this isn't really God. Just saying. But sometimes I think we have passions for something and we think that maybe we're supposed to do something else and we're missing it, that's what God wants us to do. So our individual assignments affect the community. When our assignment's in alignment, it adds to community in alignment. So it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we're all supposed to be helping each other, and when we're in sync, everybody gets blessed by that. The same way as the worship team was in sync, everyone got blessed by it. But I'll tell you right now, sometimes you can just tell, and it's rare here that I see like a worship set that we don't really do good. It's almost always awesome, but I'll use myself. It happens sometimes. Well, I could say even to myself, sometimes I may preach a sermon, and the sermon, it just fell flat. Something happened. The messenger didn't do it. Maybe I didn't hear God, whatever. And I'll tell my pastors, I'll tell them, I am not a sermon. I'm a minister. My life is not just one 30-minute message. If I fail, I'm going to get back up and keep walking. I'm not going to be sitting there all week going, I'm such a failure. It's like, I'm not a sermon. I'm a minister. And as a spokesperson, it's like sometimes maybe you had a bad hair day. Maybe something happened. Maybe the messenger messed up the message. The message is God. Our job is to get out of the way and let God do it. Sometimes we may mess it up. Are you with me? But we get back up and we keep going. And in a community, it's okay if you fail. We're going to tell you and help you get back up and help dust you off. That's the beauty of community. And so being together is really important to have people around you that can help you with your successes and your failures, where you're free to explore those affections and passions you have towards something and get coached and get covered and coached, like I said before. And I love Max Lucado. He put it this way. He said, if you stand at the intersection of your affection and your successes, you'll find your uniqueness in life. Stand at that intersection. I like the military snipers have a crosshair. And if you get right in that crosshair, if your elevation's right and your windage is right, if you're right in that zone, you're on track. You're on target. And that's when your affections and your successes. So an easy way to look back would be if you're trying to figure out, okay, let me preach to the crux. Is there anybody in the crux here today? You're trying to figure out your major. You're trying to figure out where to go in life. Look at your successes. What are you good at? I'm really good with groups. I'm good with small groups. I'm really good with a team. You're good with people. Either good people or you're not good with people. So you're really good with people. You know, so you could look and go, okay, I'm good with people. Where do you function? Where do you see all your successes in the past? What did you like? What are you talking about? Elementary school, this and that. List all your successes. When you look at your successes and then you merge that with your affections and your passions, somewhere in there you're going to find out what you're supposed to do. You'll get in your sweet spot. So if you're saying, well, I think I'm going to be a software engineer because software engineers make a lot of money, but you're not really successful when you get behind the computer. You know what I mean? You failed out of classes in the computer and you're trying to like be a software engineer, but you really did good when you were working with people and teams. It's like maybe you need to work with people and teams, or maybe you're supposed to coach a team that does, you know, engineering. All I'm saying to you is that you've got to marry the two, where you get and you figure out your affections and your passions because God gave them to you. And when you discover them and you find them, and that's the beautiful thing of community is people help you to discover them. They'll tell you, you know, you're really good at this, Danielle. Oh, Zach, you're really good at this. And they help you. And when you're listening, you're like, wow, I'm really good at this. And there's nothing wrong with that. And when they say you're not really good at that, you're like, I know you love me, so you can tell me I'm not good at that. So when you have community, community can speak into your life when you're saying, I think I'm supposed to do this. And they're like, you don't really do that great. You should really be listening. Are you here? So community can help correct you. If no one can correct you, I don't know, someone said, if you only listen to yourself as a counselor, you have a fool for a counselor. You got to listen to people. Someone else has to be able to correct you. And when you're in a loving, if I know you love me, then you could correct me. If you don't love me, don't try to correct me. Because you're with me. It's like correction has to come through love. And even the gifts, they all come through love. Are you here? I got tons of people I've known for decades around here, and they could tell me the hard call, and I'd go, I know Dan O'Dash loves me. Known Dan for decades. Know he loves me. He doesn't like to candy coat anything. So if he sees something and he tells me, he's going to say it in love, but he's going to tell me. You know, you could do this, or maybe you didn't do this so well. But that's awesome. That's the benefit of community. Are you with me? So when you're in a community and you're in life, I have the ability to fail in community in an area. I'm going to try. I'm going to step out because I want to do this musical gift, and I try and I step out. And then Matt and Annie just, I tried, and then they just tell me, really not that great in this one area, Pastor. But now I get to go to another area. Let me go under Pastor Taylor, and I'll work with our youth ministries and, you know, doing this. And I'm like, oh, I flourish there. I love people. I love teams. I love that. Oh, wow. Now I found where I flourish. Are you with me? So community helps you to figure that out. But you also have to identify your weaknesses. And when you identify your weaknesses, okay, I'll land this ship. Here we go. Here's a good one. David, cave of Adullam, I think is what it was called. Adullam, Adullam, whatever it's called, something like that. He went to the cave. So David's in the cave running from Saul's. People gathered to David, right? David's mighty men came from somewhere, right? But when you read it, it says all those who were distressed and in debt, all the losers came to David, right? And they became a mighty army, right? So let's do that for advertising. If you're a loser, come to Summit. Not only did losers come to David, but winners came to David too, right? Study it. Look at the men. The Gadites, these guys were like Navy SEALs came to David. So losers and winners alike came to David, but the point was they were aligned with him. So since David, when they came to David, they became David's mighty men. Their face shone like lions. They did all these crazy feats. David killed a lion. Guy goes in a snowy pit, kills a lion on a snowy day with a spear. Oh, I'm going to go into a pit after a lion. Have you seen a lion? I'm like, really? Yeah, everybody does that. David did it. I can do it. These people aligned with David and they got it. They killed giants. Why? Because David killed a giant. David killed a giant. His nephew kills a giant. They become giant killers because they aligned with David. Are you here? Winners and losers alike. The point was alignment. You with me? So it doesn't matter where, alignment's powerful no matter where somebody is, no matter their ethnicity, their social status, their development, their age, their Christianity, how quick, none of that matters. Alignment is really important. So when alignment comes, life will come. Are you with me? So if you're going to fulfill your assignment, first you get aligned. And then once you're aligned, then you learn what you're assigned to do. And after you do that, then you'll start to function. God will do great things in your life. I'm already out of time. Would you stand with me today? I want to tell you the first alignment that we have to do is to align under what Jesus did on the cross. And we have to catch what he did. God so loved the world and humanity that he created that was separate from him because of sin, that he bridged the gap through the cross of Jesus Christ. God so loved that he sent his son. And I want to ask you today, the way that you get aligned with the cross is not that you have to sacrifice, not that you have to be a good person to be able to come to him. You have to recognize that Jesus Christ was the bridge between heaven and earth, between humanity that was sinful and a God who was holy. Jesus Christ bridged the gap by dying on a cross. He bled for us. He died for us, and he took sin on himself. And he says, if you believe in this cross that Jesus Christ was crucified, died, buried, and rose from the dead, if you believe this gospel and ask God to forgive your sins, when you repent, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. This, you'll get reunited in your original design that you were created in the image of God, and he forgives the sins of humankind, and you get aligned under that cross. It's a beautiful place to be. Oh, please don't say repent. That's a bad word. It's the most beautiful word in the Bible. Are you kidding me? Once we repent, that means we've changed our thinking, we've changed our ways, and now times of refreshing can come. If times of refreshing can come, that's the best place you could ever be. And it actually tells us in Revelations, it said, be zealous and repent. We need to be the quickest to repent. We need to be those who say, I can't stand being out of the presence. I'm going to repent quickly. I'm going to get right back under the cross quickly. If I find myself off the road, I want to get back on the road. If I have something that's dislocated, if I'm out of joint, I want to get back in quick so that I can function. And if I'm doing something I shouldn't, I want to find where I should. I want to come back in. So it starts with finding forgiveness under that, what he provided. And I just want to ask you, if you bow your heads for a second, And just start with just saying, forgive me. Just say, just forgive me, God. All of you, even those who don't need repentance, just say this. Just say, forgive me, God. Because sometimes it's major things like, I'm getting saved. I'm getting born again. You're forgiving the sin, and I'm way out there. But sometimes we're just a little off the trail, and we need to say, it still is forgiveness to get back on the mark, to say, forgive me. Forgive me, God, and let him fill in the blanks, whatever it is. Search me, God, if there be any wicked way. I pray it all the time. God, if there's anything at all between us, God, I don't want it. I love you, and I want to be in perfect alignment. Help me to love people. Help me to stay in your love. God, I just pray right now. I pray you pray right now and just ask him and just say, forgive me, forgive my sins, forgive where I'm at. If you say, I feel so terrible in shame, when you say, forgive me, he lifts shame. And this is the beautiful thing, is the Bible says, if you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, God is faithful. He's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you. In other words, God's so faithful, he'll take your shame every time if you're sincere and say, God, I repent. I'm wrong again. I did this again. And sometimes we have a bent, we are out of alignment, and then we constantly go in that same ditch. And you go, why do I keep doing the same thing? Sometimes it's our fathers and forefathers. Sometimes there's a generational bent. Sometimes there's a bent towards one sin. You're always hitting that same pothole, but God will still forgive you. But I pray right now, God, that you would stop the things that are keeping us out of alignment, that we would do everything it takes to get aligned properly with you and with the body of Christ, that we would love you with all our hearts and that we would love one another, that we wouldn't just have a stick, we'd actually have a cross. We'd actually have love that goes vertical and horizontal. I thank you for it, and I pray you release it over this body, release it over these beautiful people in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you got something good out of that. Let's give God some praise. He's a wonderful God. There is a team that'll be up here to minister. If you need ministry, they're here for you. God bless you. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.